Psychic Cowgirl Radio. This is your host, Reverend Shannon, the Psychic Cowgirl. I want to let you know that my intention with this show is to share information, practical cowgirl wisdom, and tools to aid you on your personal development journey. I have a bachelor's degree in metaphysics. I am an ordained minister with the Canadian International Metaphysical Ministry. I'm also a hypnotherapist, past life regression therapist, and an Akashic record reading practitioner. I'm a natural-born intuitive and psychic. It is genetic. I see and feel energies and connections. I use my talents and education to help clients become more aware of their own patterns, intuition, blocks in their life, and then to tap into energies to create what is their personal dream life. I believe in divine guidance, karma, and that intentions are key to any situation. I do offer clarity and understanding from a soul level perspective when you work with me. At times, a little guidance is all that we require to step into our power and move forward in our lives. You can find out more about me on my website, www.psychiccowgirl.com. I also have a Facebook page, Psychic Cowgirl, and I'm on Twitter as the Psychic Cowgirl. Please share any comments or questions through my Facebook page. I do answer the messages, or you could email me, Shannon@psychiccowgirl.com. I look forward to hearing from you all, and let's begin today's show. Hey everybody, good morning. Welcome to the live show this lovely Wednesday morning. It's been hectic for this cowgirl this morning. My internet was not working. My router decided it was finished with us and just quit yesterday afternoon. And I need internet for a lot of business transactions because I had to send some for the ranch stuff, and then of course Psychic Cowgirl has stuff. Anyways, that happened, and so this morning I phoned my internet company and we figured out it was the router, and so I had to redo everything so that it's on my desktop rather than my laptop, because I usually sit at my kitchen table so I can watch all the cows and everything. So yeah, and then I had to reset everything, because you know how you get used to using one computer and all your bookmarks and everything is on there. So I was doing that, and we had a calf during the night. Oh my goodness, this calf, on a scale of 1 to 10 of cuteness, it's at least a 15. I'll put a picture on my Facebook page later today. Oh, so adorable, so adorable. I am just loving these Speckle Park cows we have. It's just so exciting every time one of them has a calf to see if it's going to be Black Angus more or more Speckle Park. Oh, it's so exciting. So exciting. And so the kids and I went out and took a flashlight because it was still dark when the school bus came, and we peeked at the baby, and then I had to go out as soon as it was daylight, take pictures to send to them, and oh, so much excitement on the ranch this morning. Yeah, it's been busy, busy, busy. So, yeah, I've been coaching a lot of people in the last couple months. It's been kind of a theme about commitments, obligations, and burdens, how to release those. And I've had like an interesting experience my own self, of course, right? I live what I teach. I had an obligation to someone, and it was weird because it didn't make any logical sense. I don't owe this person my life or anything, yet there was this energy of obligation, and I'm not really sure why. Maybe a karmic debt from a past life. I'm not sure. But I felt it. I felt it. And now, here's the trick. I know there always is a trick, right? Obligations and commitments and burdens. So we create the energy of them, right? We create the energy, whether we're creating an obligation or we're simply having a commitment, which is less heavy, or and then a burden, which is the heaviest of all, right? So we create these. Why? Part of our learning. And each one has a different energy. Different energy. Now, the energy that I felt with this person, it wasn't a burden at all. It was fine. I didn't feel like, there was an obligation there, though, that I didn't really understand. And did it irritate me? Yes. Now, I could, you know, perceive this as he created this obligation with me and he's needy and he really wants something from me all the time. He just, you know, really wants, I don't know. I could blow it up that this person is simply so needy and I just wish they would figure it out themselves. And I wish they'd quit bugging me. And, you know, you can go and go and go. But the true story is, you know, truth is subjective, is that I created this. Because somewhere along the way, having an obligation with this person fulfilled a need I had. And maybe it was a need to always help. I do know that when I was trying to figure out all this psychic stuff, because I've always been psychic. I was born with it. It's genetic. However that all works, I don't even know. It's not clear. It's not like I have a family lineage that talks about it. But I would have loved to have a mentor. I would have loved to have somebody who could explain it to me how it works, help me understand my talents and gifts. But I have never had that. It just wasn't in my soul contracts this time around. I had to figure it all out myself. Why? That's obviously what I chose before I incarnated. But here's the key. Because of that, if somebody else has the energy of wanting a mentor, I want to help them. Even if it creates an obligation, a commitment, or a burden. And I have to be quite aware of that. And be careful with that because I can stretch myself too thin because of that. Does that make sense? And I've, you know, worked on it and through, you know, growth and soul understanding and all this stuff. I do walk my talk. Everything I offer to my clients is because I've worked on myself with these tools and techniques and had success. And so I know that this about myself now. I did it for the longest time, and I would get into these situations, and I'd be like, oh, why is this happening again? Why am I in this situation again? Because I haven't learned yet, right? And so, oh, my puppy's barking. He would like outside. So if you hear that, I'm just going to walk over and do that for him. Okay, be good when you're outside, puppy. I do. And he's like, yeah, I don't really want out there. You're being a commitment, Blake. So having awareness about this, about myself, again, I have to be careful. Because whenever I get into this situation, it gets to a certain point and then I'm mad. Ugh, why did I do this to myself again? Or, ugh, why are they being so needy? But it's, you know, less about them than it is about me. Make sense? So look at your patterns. Look at where you are repeating something, and then you can figure out why. And then you can change it. Because it's really great awareness. I mean, knowing this is so awesome. being empathic too, we have to be vigilant at times or just really aware that we'll pick up on what other people are feeling. And so if someone's feeling insecure, we want to help them. We want to fix it. But that's not always our mission or our role in their life. How do you tell the difference? Well, trial and error for sure. You just have to go for it, I guess, if you feel, you know, urged to help somebody until they don't want your help and then it all blows up and then you're like, ah, again. Honestly, it's just practice and trial and error, and then you'll know. We do get ourselves in these commitment obligations and burdens because we do worry about what other people will think if we do not. But then you find that it doesn't stop them from thinking poorly of you if that's what they want to do in the first place. Right? How many times have you volunteered for things and you are working hard at it? You are giving a big commitment of time, energy. It often becomes a burden and an obligation, but you're willing and you are going to follow it through. And then you have people that come along and be snarky to you about it. Oh, well, why aren't you doing this? Oh, you should have done it this way. Oh, you know, we just had a fundraiser and we were finishing it up and working with some nice gentlemen. And a mom came along and made a snarl and quite a snarky comment about what we were doing, even though she had participated. And I'm like, really? First of all, not an appropriate time or place when we're all volunteering and sitting here in the chilliness working. And you saunter up here and say something snarky like that. So not appropriate. I don't care what's going on in your world. Have a little grace. You can be as snarky as you want, but do it out of our earshot. And the gentlemen that were helping us too. I was very disappointed. I'm sure I gave her a look that said, yeah, not cool. Here's my point, though. Obviously, she couldn't help herself. Whatever was going on with her, she just felt she couldn't help herself and had to make that inappropriate comment. I could take it personally and be all upset, but I've dealt with this person before, and I don't take it personally because it's not really about me, as far as I'm concerned. It's about her perception of me or her perception of things, and that's none of my business. Because that oracle card that came up, I thought that was awesome. When we can get to the point of it doesn't interest me what you think of me, we are on the road to extreme success and confidence. That's how we get confidence, is when we're no longer interested in pleasing other people to the detriment of ourselves, when we're no longer interested in making them like us. Because, like, you know, this is a theme, so we've talked about it before, because it's less personal than it is their perception of you. It absolutely feels personal, sure it does, but when you break it down, it's their perception of you. They've decided you are this certain type of person in their life, and they simply don't want to like you. From a spiritual aspect, it's quite profound. Because you are playing a role in their life of being a trigger, being someone that they have to deal with not liking, being someone who they're jealous of, all these things. Like, you're playing a pretty big soul contract spiritual role in their life. And when this incarnation is done, you're going to probably find your best of friends and that you chose to have these roles in each other's life so that the soul growth could happen. As much as these experiences irritate me and sometimes they feel soul-shattering and heartbreaking, I have chosen to be profoundly grateful. Because every time they happen, I get a little smarter. When I took on the big commitment for the school last year and did the fundraising, and we had tons, we had a dance, we had a casino, we had a spellathon, we had the golf tournament, and it, by the time the golf tournament came around, which was at the end of the year, it was a little sticky. I had great support, but I also had those that just didn't get it, didn't get me, and I got to the point where all I said was, I got this, I know what I'm doing. I didn't argue anymore. I didn't try to explain my point of view. I didn't try to convince them that I knew what I was doing. I was freaking tired, and I had enough. And all I said was, I got this. I know what I'm doing. Because they had never done this before. Fair enough, but I have. So I got this. I know what I'm doing. Make that your mantra. I got this. I know what I'm doing. And it worked because I just didn't care. I had it. I knew what I was doing. And we had a successful evening. Because it was all volunteer. And if someone's volunteering their time and energy, I hope you're graceful enough to be respectful for that. It's hard to get volunteers. And you know why? Because of situations like this. When you're a volunteer and you're working really hard to make something successful and you have these people that are jerks, why would you do it again? What's the motivation? I don't love having to tell people, look, I know what I'm doing. Back off. But it got to that point, and I just had enough. And it was successful. It worked. I did a lot of venting to my husband and my friend, but it worked. That's the beauty of having a support group. You vent and you let it go. You vent and you let it go. Because commitments can quickly become obligations or burdens. Now, back to the person that I had an obligation with that I didn't really understand. And my dog's barking again. See, it's really him. I'm really talking about him. Are you representing that person, Blake? Good boy. Okay. Out you go, love. It kind of snuck up on me. Like, I felt the energy of it, but I didn't really know why. And it did. It snuck up on me because I, you know, wanted to help them be successful. And I did. I gave them tons of advice. I gave them counseling, you know, that I didn't always charge for. And it's good, but at some point, when you give away things free to people, at some point, they keep expecting more, and you get to your point where you're done. So what I did is when I realized all this, I cut the cords of obligation with this person, because it didn't make sense to me. So whether it's past life karma played out, it felt done. It felt time for me to cut them and move on. Now, I want to say this. If I'm somebody that irritates you, you're probably not listening to my show then. Well, in case you are, in case you're, like, listening and you're like, oh, how come she's doing so well? How come she's, you know, so happy all the time? If I'm that person for you, why don't you take my name, write it on a piece of paper, write Shannon Lackman on a little piece of paper, put it in a Ziploc baggie, add water, and freeze it. What that does is my energy will not affect you. Because there's a difference between admiring someone and being irritated by someone, but you still feel like you need to see what they're doing. And if it gets to be where you're a little obsessive and I'm irritating you, please freeze me. It doesn't affect me. Well, it does. How do I explain this? I know people have froze me, and I'm good with that. Because I want your energy to be good. It doesn't mean that we will never talk. It doesn't mean that I'm frozen out of your life. It means that when we interact, I don't irritate you. I have people that I've frozen, and I see them, and it's good. It's like we're not best friends, polite and respectful, and I don't feel like I need to roll my eyes as soon as I see them. It's like, hey, how you doing? Hope life is good for you. it just takes out that, I don't know, that energy of irritation. Because some people just don't like you and they're jerks about it. You can't control that. That's none of your business. You can control how you react. So if you freeze them, you won't feel it. Does that make sense? So you won't feel what they're feeling. I love it. Totally love it. Because I just want them not to bother me, right? I just want to live my life. And when someone, you know, deliberately goes out of their way to be rude or to mess up what I'm doing, I'm going to go on the defensive and fix it so that you don't bother me. Because I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Because it's really none of your business. As long as I'm good with what I'm doing, whatever. Does that make sense? I know, it's irritating. So just to get off that topic for a little bit, I'm going to tell you some ranching stories because this is where my commitment is right now because it's calving season. So heifers. So those of you that don't know how this goes, let me tell you. Heifers are first-time moms. Remember that? Remember when you all were first-time moms? Yeah, same energy. So they're not always knowing what they're doing. And sometimes they don't make the best parenting choices. So my son's 4-H heifer had a baby. Oh, my gosh. He is, like, so cute. If you've seen the pictures on my Facebook page, oh, my gosh, he's so cute. If you haven't seen those pictures, it's worth a look. He's hilarious. Okay, so she had the baby, and we're like, yay! We had her in the corral, keeping an eye on her because, you know, she's a pet, which is good and bad. And so baby came out all good. She was licking him, but she licked him right into a puddle. And so my husband got called to work, so it was me and the kids. So we raced out there. So first calf heifers, you don't know how they're going to react to having a baby because it's traumatic, right? A lot of stuff happens. Weird things happen to your body, like what the heck and what is that? So you never know if they're going to be uber protective and run you over or if they're going to be fine with you touching their baby. It's a hit or a miss, right? And so we were really cautious, and luckily we had some food, and we distracted the mom with food. I know, it's a theme of my ranch. We all love food. And we picked up the baby, put him in the purple calf sled, hauled him to the garage, had to put him in the calf warmer upper box, let's call it. It's this big red box, and it has a heater on the bottom. And so baby had to get warmed up. And then when my husband got home, he got some colostrum in a feeding tube because we weren't sure if he could suck yet. And we were panicked because this is the 4-H heifer's calf. Adorable. And so saved his life. We're all happy. Put him back with his mom. He's doing great. And so he stayed in the corral for a couple days. We're just, you know, keeping an eye on him, making sure he was okay. And then we let him out in the big pasture so they could eat with the big herd. And there's another baby out there, so we figured they'd hang, but they didn't. And then one day I was busy working, and then I had to go to school. It was Progy Day, actually, the day that we delivered progies. And so I was at the school all afternoon, and then the kids had archery, and I get a text from my husband asking if I'd seen the baby that day. And I'm like, nope, saw his mom, didn't see him. And he says, I can't find him. I panicked, but I'm trying to keep it calm, cool, and collected because, you know, the kids need to do their archery because they have a tournament the next day, and I don't want Brody freaking out because Brody will freak out, my son. So I just said to him, are you shooting again? And he's like, let me check. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, why? And I said, well, I think we need to go home pretty quick. He's like, oh, is someone calving? I'm like, yeah, about a calf. And so sometimes, bless their hearts, they're a little bit slow getting their stuff together to get home because they have to do chores probably. But this day, I had the right sense of urgency, and so they had all their stuff together, and we raced out. And as we're racing out, they're like, why? What's going on? What's going on? And I said, well, we can't find JJ the calf. So we panicked. We may have drove a little bit quick. Thank you for keeping me safe and no police to give me a ticket. I think my son would have burst in tears. So we get home and we searched and we searched and we searched. Always amazes me how I can walk for hours through the pastures and yet I can't get myself, it was a Thursday to Thursday night yoga because I'm too lazy, tired. But sure, I can sure walk for hours in the pasture looking for a baby calf. We searched and we searched. It's almost a whole hour. My husband was looking for an hour and a half before that. And so we decided, okay, we'd already split up, but we're just going to do it one more last shot. Because here's the issue. Baby calves could be a coyote snack, and we do have a pack of coyotes here that we keep an eye on. There's five of them in the pack. Sometimes they're a little bit too aggressive. And, you know, if they were wandering through and came across this calf laying in the pasture, it might just be a snack for them. So we were pretty panicked, and I won't lie, we were looking for blood, we were looking for a carcass, but we were really hoping to find a live calf. So my one son and my husband went one way, me and my other son went the other way, and I saw this open gate, and I'm like, okay, let's look for tracks. We saw tracks. I'm like, okay, let's go. And it's like, you know, not small. And so we tromped along fence lines, we went up snowbank hills, and he's a white calf. And so sometimes it was like, oh, is that him? Is that him? No. He's a white calf with black ears. And, well, snows and trees and rocks can look like a white calf with black ears. So there's lots of false alarms where you get, oh, yay, then no. So we come up over this hill, and then my son says, Mom, I see him. No, really, for reals, I actually see him. And we raced over there. There he was, laying in a little ball, all curled up sleeping. He got the biggest hug. And then the little brat wouldn't chase. He was, like, running and bucking, running the wrong way. And so I sent my son to go get reinforcements and the quad and the sled. And so they come back. Meanwhile, I tried my best, but baby just didn't listen to me. And so my husband comes along, and he got him a little bit further than I did before he ducked and ran back. But then the kids came with the quad and the sled. And so they forgot a rope. So my husband held the calf on the sled while my son drove it, and then me and my other son walked back. Pretty tired by the time we got back. I was pretty happy to get on the quad to do the last, you know, half mile to the house. Took baby back to his mama, and all was good. Until the next day. She did it again. But we knew where to look this time, but she had him even further. This time we had the truck. So baby got put in the truck. And I'm really glad he didn't fertilize on me because him and I were sharing his space. So I took selfies and petted him because why not, really, right? If I'm doing this, I'm having fun. And so his mom lost her pasture privileges. They're in the corral. And at one point, you have to go to my Facebook page and look for these pictures. I got out to open gates, and then my husband went to get the calf, but he stood with his front legs on the seat and looked out the passenger window like a dog would. It's the cutest picture ever. So glad I had my camera. And so then that was the Friday, and they're all good. It's been a few days. He's in the corral with his mom. Now he has a new friend. I love the commitment, but sometimes it's a little more intense than I figured. So we went to the archery that night. And one of my friends who also has cows, she's like, oh, I have to show you this picture someone sent to us. It's about a calf in a truck. And I'm like, oh, yeah, let me see. Then I'm like, okay, I can do you one better. And I showed her my picture, and I won. Oh, he's so cute. And he has this personality already. So cute. We're trying to decide if we're going to keep him as a bull, because we could, because he's got the breeding behind him. Or we're going to have him as a steer, so he can be the 4-H prospect for next year. He gets to be shown today, or this year, as the baby of my son's last year 4-H heifer. So there's so much cuteness happening there. So much cuteness. And so, yeah, it's excitement. But this is where my commitment is. And I'd like my obligations to be to the ranch and my family right now. And then you have to work hard at not making it a burden. Make it fun, right? See how I just did that? Yeah, I know. I'm entertaining. Okay. Still rattles me because my poor son, he was like so upset because this is his baby. And he's 12 and he is so attached to the ranch. We know what his life work is going to be. He's been that way since he was born. Seriously, it's been really crazy cool. Okay. So back to obligations, burdens. So if something is a commitment, it usually feels okay. Like it feels like it could be good sometimes, not so good sometimes. And commitments tend to be shorter term. Does that make sense? Energetically, of course, unless it's, you know, different kinds of... See, now I just went squirrel. I'm thinking about commitment. But when a commitment becomes an obligation, where there's no reciprocity. So commitments with reciprocity always work. When there's give and take, back and forth. When it's an obligation, but it feels more one-sided, that's when it starts to feel sticky, doesn't it? So let's look at your life. Do you have some obligations or burdens that you can let go of? Do you have some obligations or burdens you would like to let go of? And if you do, why don't you let go of them? What's the real reason? And don't just blow it off and say, oh, I just can't. Nobody else can do it. Because that's not true. It's only true if you make it true. Someone else can do it, always. Why do you need to keep it? What does it actually do for you that keeps that obligation or burden important in your life? Even say those words out loud. Commitment, that kind of feels okay. Obligation, that definitely feels heavier. Burden, well, we know. That makes you like want to hunch over, right? What kind of things in your life do you have that could be considered obligations or burdens and that you want to get rid of them? Or you want to just change your perspective on them? I could look at the ranch as an obligation and a burden. It is labor intensive. Sometimes I have to reschedule clients because of things happening on the ranch. Luckily for me, or not even just luckily, I've created it this way. My people get it. Why do they get it? Because it's obviously a passion for me. I mean, I share cow stuff all the time. I love my cows. They make me happy. And so because of that, and that energy shows through, people will be understanding. And if they're not, that's their problem, not yours. Again, go back to it's not important what others think of you because no one knows your path better than you. We tend to not always understand that. No one knows your path better than you. No one. You may not always know your path, or you may, that's not true. You may feel like you don't know your path, but you actually do. Your soul knows. It just, you have to get in touch with your soul, and sometimes that's where we get led astray. We listen to other people, what they feel we should do, and sometimes we get really bad advice, like seriously. Sometimes we'll have people enable us making bad decisions. You do know. You do. I feel like I've, you know, ran a marathon this morning because it was so hectic and busy. I do want to make sure we do the chakra cleanse, and I do want to do the cord cutting. Now, I have the cord cutting recorded, and so I want to just have you alter it a little bit. Maybe I'll just, I don't have it on this computer. When we do the cord cutting, I do believe it says something about obligation, but I want you just to set the intention before we do it that you're going to release obligations that have negative energy for you. Make sense? And I want to do that right now because I feel like I've stirred up some energies for us all, and we're all thinking about obligations and commitments and burdens. So let's do the cord cutting, and then we'll move on from there.
This is a meditation to cut cords, recorded by Shannon Lackman, the Psychic Cowgirl. Give yourself a nice breath in. and out. Let's begin. Have your feet flat on the floor, hands in your lap, arms and legs uncrossed to let the energy flow. Close your eyes. Archangel Michael, we call upon you now. Please cut any cords of fear, obligation, or attachment that are creating negative or draining energies. Cut any cords that have been blocking or draining in the past or present. All positive energy cords remain intact. We are all now willing to trade all the pain for peacefulness. It is done. It is done. It is done. Give yourself a nice breath in and out. While we wait for Archangel Michael to do his magic, cutting the cords. A nice breath in and out. One more time, a nice breath in and out. Now that those negative cords are cut and released, a download of unconditional love for self energy replaces and fills all the spaces where those cords were attached. You will feel like you are being hugged. A nice breath in and out. You may do a cord cutting meditation as many times as you feel is right. If you are feeling cranky or drained for no reason, it may indicate an energy vampire situation and a cord cutting is required. Thank you. Have a good day. Oh, that feels so much better. So much better. It's interesting to me how we can get ourselves into these situations and let obligations rule what we know or what we feel we should or could change. Because we just feel like we don't want to let somebody else down, or we just feel like, you know, we have to keep helping them. It's really, really interesting how we do that to ourselves. You know, there's a difference between being in service and being a servant. Your obligation should be to yourself. And then we can, you know, be accused of narcissism and all that stuff, but you know what, whatever. As long as you know what you're doing, remember, you got this. You know what you're doing. I wrote a blog about narcissism. I have to tell you this because it entertains me, because it's just funny. Now, I write these because it happens to more than just me. There'll be a theme that's happening with my clients and stuff, and so I feel like I need to share and let people, you know, the information they want or get triggered, whatever. So I had someone get offended about that article because they felt it was about them. I know, just let that soak in for a minute, because it was about narcissism. Did I write it with them in my mind? No. I didn't, actually. And if they read it carefully, they would know it wasn't them, because there was a few clues in it. But I have to appreciate the beauty of it. And I had to giggle out loud, because it is so awesome. Will they look at it differently? Maybe. Hopefully. I don't know. Not my problem, right? Because, you know, the irony is that it was about narcissism. So they think everything is about them, even though it actually wasn't necessarily.
necessarily, but you know what? If it fits and it triggers you, deal with it. Because you have choices. You can, you know, hate me because I wrote it and you're pretty sure it was about you and I was telling stories on you. Fine. If the shoe fits, do something about it. If you didn't like it, change the way you're doing things then, because obviously it hit you somewhere where it felt familiar or it made you upset. So if you somewhere feel like you're narcissistic, look at that. I tell you what, though, if you want to change, you're probably not a narcissist. If you think you're perfect exactly how you are and everybody else is out to get you, you're probably a bit of a narcissist. Just saying. You get choices, though. You can either change what you're doing or you can blame somebody else. It's totally up to you. It depends on your journey, where you're at, neither right nor wrong. No, none of us is perfect. I do not claim to be a spiritual guru. I'm still figuring this all out just like everybody else. I just happen to have tools to help me and a connection that makes my life enhanced. But I work at it. I have spent tens of thousands of dollars working at this because I want to be better at it and I want to understand myself in order to help others. I get people, you know, that don't get that. They just think that I have it easy and, you know, life's always good for me. Yeah, usually is. Why? Because I created that. And it's also my perspective on it. Do I deal with crap and obnoxiousness? Totally. Do I deal with it gracefully? Not always. Am I having a good time? Yes. I can find the humor and the positive in everything. That is one my gift to myself. I just can. Because our world is like weird, but it's funny. And if you can just, you know, do the best you can because you got this, right? You do. Okay. So back to that oracle card that I loved. It was called Devotion. I'll read you the whole thing again. The current earth frequencies challenge us to find our inner strength. We can only achieve this as we begin to feel where our passion lies. How great is your desire to literally choose what feels right for you, to follow your own truth without adjusting yourself to the outside world? Because that is the only way you can fully tap into your own strength. Get rid of the shoulda, woulda, couldas. It is not important what others think of you, because no one knows your path better than you. Only when you dare to say, "It doesn't interest me what you think of me," then you have understood the message and you will be able to create what you really want. And that came from the Janosch Oracle. If you Google Janosch.com, you will find them, and they're beautiful sacred geometry messages. They're beautiful. Now, when this card came up for me to post, I'm like, wow, this is so perfect because it fits the energy of right now so perfectly. World is in chaos. To deal with chaos, you need to simplify and find your inner strength. That's the answer. And so you need to tap into your own personal inner strength. And that's what I help you do when you work with me. We got this. That is what's going to get us through. Honestly, if I told you everything that was going on in my world that was chaotic and uncomfortable, you'd be like, why are you laughing? Why are you smiling? Because the alternative is not acceptable to me. I don't want to get sucked into the depression and despair. Is my husband working? No. Am I freaked out about that? Yes. Am I going to panic and, you know, stomp around and worry about it constantly? No, because it doesn't do me any favors. I'm simplifying. I'm working more. I I'm revitalizing the store because I still have stock left from when I sold it. The person that bought it, she didn't want everything, and fair enough, because she had some of her own stuff that was similar anyway. And so I have like thousands of dollars worth of stuff sitting in my house, my spare house as my store, and I had to stop for a year and a half because other commitments and obligations needed my time and attention more. But now I have the desire, and it's time. And I thought, we're moving, and we're up. So I'm revitalizing this store. It's going to be called Cowgirl Gifts. See that pun there? I know. I'm so funny. Good thing I think so, right? And so look for, I have some cool products that I still have. I will be reminding you all of those in some newsletters. And then I have some things coming in that make me smile. I want to help you navigate this world as much as I help myself. We got this. We know what we're doing. May not always feel that way, but we do. Okay, so let's balance our chakras. And then I will be done. Holy, that time went fast. I got to go check cows anyway. It's all good. So I wish you all a good rest of the week. And again, tap into your inner strength. You guys got this. You got this. Don't worry less about what other people think of you. Worry about what you think of you. Got it? Okay. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. We're going to balance those chakras.
This is a meditation to balance and cleanse our chakras. I'd like you to sit up straight, have your feet flat on the floor, nothing crossed. Give yourself a nice breath in and out. I would like you to visualize or imagine deep, thick roots growing out the bottom of your feet, deep, deep into Mother Earth. Feel yourself grounding and connecting with Mother Earth with those deep, thick roots. Nice breath in and out. Now, imagine or visualize a white ball of energy coming up from each of those roots into the bottom of your feet. Visualize or imagine those balls of light traveling up your leg. You may feel a warm, tingling sensation. Move those balls of light up your leg, through your shin, past your knees, up your thighs, higher, higher, and then both balls of white light are going to join together at your root chakra, at your pelvis. Your root chakra deals with feelings and energies of having the right to be here. The root chakra is symbolized as red. I want you to imagine or visualize a red ball. Symbolism is personal, but I want you to have something that you're focusing on. So if it's a red ball, I want you to start spinning it until it's bright, shiny, shiny red. Right now it may look cloudy or dirty. It may be really big or it may be really small. I want you to spin this ball of energy until it's shiny, bright, sparkly red. Spinning, spinning. The root chakra deals with energies of money, career, home, needs, and possessions. So it's really important to have this one balanced. I want you to spin it, spin it, spin it until it's bright and shiny. If you are having trouble visualizing or imagining, Archangel Raphael will be there to help you. Archangel Raphael is also going to vacuum away all the cruddy energy that comes off your chakras. So spinning, spinning, spinning. We like to give this one a really good cleanse. Spin it just a smidge more. Fantastic. You are doing great. Okay? Now this one is all shiny clean and it's in your body. Again, there's no way to do this wrong. Now I want you to move up to your sacral chakra, which is located midway between your pelvis and the base of your spine. This one's an orange ball of light. I want you to spin that one. This is where we have our feelings and emotions. Let's spin that one until it's bright, shiny orange. This is where we are able to set boundaries when we have this one balanced. feeling joy. Let's really spin that one and give it a nice big cleanse. Spinning, spinning. Spinning, spinning. For all of us that have trouble saying no at times, you can feel why it would be important to have this one balanced. Excellent. Give it a few more spins until it's bright, shiny orange. You guys are doing fabulous. Okay, now that that one feels good, move up again to our solar plexus chakra. This one is the yellow one. This one is where we can make choices. We set our intentions through this one and have our will to do things. It involves self-direction, self-esteem, and the power of transformation. So let's spin this yellow light until it's bright, shiny, and sparkly clean. Spinning, spinning. Nice. Focus on spinning that one a little more. Perfect. I can feel all the energies flying off to be vacuumed away. We're going to feel so good after this. All right. So now that one's all shiny, let's move up to our heart chakra. This one's green. This one deals with love and I give, I care, forgiveness, generosity. So let's spin this heart chakra until it's shiny green and infused with sparkles. We want to have a pretty heart chakra. And spinning, 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 spinning. Fabulous. Let's keep spinning that one. You're doing great. Spin it some more. Feels like everybody's is nice and sparkly, shiny. Okay, great. Now that that one's back in place, let's move up to our throat chakra. This one is blue. We're going to spin that ball of light energy until it's shiny. This is the one where we have expression, where we listen, where we can communicate. It's all about using our voice. So let's spin, spin, spin this one. We can communicate clearly. Spinning, spinning. Fantastic. If you find that your throat chakra feels out of balance often, grab a sodalite or a lapis lazuli. Those stones will really help with that. I wear them when doing the radio show. It's really, really helpful. Okay, let's spin that one just a little bit more. You're doing fantastic. Okay, now that that one's all clean, let's move up to our third eye chakra located in our foreheads. This one has to do with telepathy, intuition, imagination, visualizing, all that good stuff that you've been doing. So this one is the darker purple color, and we're going to spin it until it's very sparkly. Nice. Keep spinning. Our intuition's located here, so we like to have this one clean so we can get our messages right. Keep spinning. Excellent. Spinning, spinning. Perfect. Kate, now that it's nice and shiny, clean, deep, deep purple. I see a lot of yours as deep, deep purple. Beautiful. Okay, let's move up to our crown chakra located at the top of our head. Now this one is a pale violet, or you might see it as clear. We're going to spin that ball of light until it's bright, shiny, clean, and sparkly. This is where our psychic and intuitive abilities can be found. Our faith, our connection to the divine, ability to trust life, values, ethics, courage. Lots of stuff happened in this crown chakra. So let's spin that one until it's really, really clean. Excellent. Great, you guys have been working on this. This one was pretty clean. Okay, so let's
put that one where it's supposed to go. And remember, there's no way to do this wrong. Just the act of listening to my voice and doing this exercise will create the energies, and it will happen. It's as simple as that. But visualize or imagine that ball of light again, just right above your head, and then you're going to move it down, down through your face, down through your neck, down through your chest, down through your pelvis. That ball of light is going to break into two, and each ball of light is going to go down your thighs, past your knees. You're going to feel refreshed, able to focus. You're going to have a lot of clarity after this meditation. Continue sending that ball of light through past your knees, down your shin, and out the bottoms of your feet, and ground you deep, deep, deep into Mother Earth. And then you can bring your awareness back to the room, back to your body. Meditation is about doing what feels natural to you. You're letting the energy do the work. It takes a little trust, takes a little faith, but if you practice it, you can come back to this meditation anytime and replay it. Have an excellent day. You've been listening to Psychic Cowgirl Radio with your host, myself, Shannon Lackman. If you'd like to learn more about me and what I offer, please go to my website, www.psychiccowgirl.com. All my sessions and services are listed there. If you would like to get a deal, tell me that you've listened to the radio show and use the code word, use the code word Raphael, and you will automatically get 20% off, because I will know that you've been listening to the radio show. I wish you all a most excellent day, and I hope you tune in soon.